Tech Talk now with Peter Marks. Facebook shares have again been sold off on the second full day of trade after its much-anticipated Friday debut. The shares closed at $33, 15% lower than the IPO price of $38. The stock price decline is being blamed on an oversupply of shares and its valuation. But there are also plenty of questions about the company's revenue model. Peter Marks, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Peter, Facebook, what does it have to do to increase revenue and profit, and at what cost for its users?
Well, this is a good question. Now, they're worth about $100 billion and dropping at the moment. And last year, their income was only $1 billion. So you'd expect to get a better
return on investment
than that. Now, to make money, they need more ads. They need to charge more for ads, presumably by selling our data so the ads can be well targeted. And they are well positioned for that sort of thing. They may start spin-off businesses, leveraging the social data, things like selling music, movie, books, pictures. And of course, this may cause them to lose focus. But the biggest internet growth right now is on the mobile platforms, and Facebook doesn't have a way to have ads on the mobile version of the app, and most young people, of course, are using Facebook almost exclusively on their mobiles. Mm. So it's going to be a balancing act between earning money and driving users away. And this reminds me of the story of Dig. In 2004, programmer and part-time tech presenter Kevin Rose kicked in $6,000 to start Dig.com, D-I-G-G.com. It was a social news site where users could submit a story and then people would vote the story up or down. They would dig the story mm-hmm. or not. And it was quite successful. In 2005, version 2 launched and they raised $2.8 million from investors. In 2007, they shot to prominence and huge audiences because someone posted the secret encryption key to high-definition DVD encryption. And to avoid prosecution, the site tried to censor that. Now, the community reacted against that and said, no, it's a social site, and they just kept reposting the key. In 2008, they raised another $28 million from investors. And, of course, the investors...
All started off with $6,000 and
right.
$28 million.
The investors, of course, wanted a return. At that time, Rose was looking to sell from his original investment of $6,000 for $300 million. Now, they needed to make money. They were in talks with Google, who were talking about acquiring it for $200 million. In order to make money, in 2009, they launched the Dig Bar that sat across every web page you looked at, and people hated it. Then they launched Dig Ads, which were ads that looked like stories submitted by other people, and the users again hated it. In 2010, version 4 was a big redesign. It didn't go well technically, and people hated it. And August 30 in 2010 was Quit Dig Day. Traffic fell off a cliff, dropping 34% in just a few weeks. The users all just left in droves.
So it's a cautionary tale for Facebook, you think?
Exactly. They went to Reddit. And I think what Dig continues to lose money to this day. Rose, interestingly, now works for Google. So Facebook is more entrenched than Dig, but if they make too many changes, they put too many ads in there, flood our timelines, users could do the same sort of thing in revolt if another site came along that did similar things. So the IPO price has dropped away a little bit, and we won't see clearly how it's going to work out probably for a year.
It's early days. Pete, the tablet wars have moved to the quality of the screen with higher resolution displays.
Yes, the third generation iPad, of course, has the Retina display, a 2048 by 1536 pixel resolution. So that's 264 pixels per inch. That's clearer than a laser printed page. So now, of course, manufacturers of these screens can make them in quantity. The big question is, when are these going to come to laptops and desktops? But there are some problems. We do expect to see them this year. The problem is that all of the web's images are only 72 dots per inch, not 200 and something. So, in fact, on a high-resolution screen, the web will look worse than it does today. The other problem is applications, books and news with lots of images in it will get much larger. So even though our internet bandwidth has been going up...
These files will get much chunkier.
The files get four times larger, so we need, again, more internet bandwidth. And there's a reason for more bandwidth. And of course, high-res screens take more battery to power because of the backlight needs more power. I do expect to see them this year. Apple's got the Worldwide Developer Conference opening on June 12 our time, and it's likely they'll announce something there. But I think one day we'll look back on these times of low-resolution screens and we'll think, how do we ever look at those terrible screens?
Yeah, it's incredible how we change, isn't it? Our expectations rise. And Pete, finally, an update on the issue of Craig Thompson. Last week you spoke on the program about caller ID spoofing. This week Craig Thompson, in his address to the Parliament, raised the idea of his phone being cloned. What's the difference?
Okay, well, cloning is a technique that takes the SIM card out of your phone and makes a duplicate of it. Now, this is supposed to be very difficult to do, but cloners are available. And I remember when I was in Hong Kong, you could buy them down at the street markets.
Really?
Yeah. Post-2002, SIMs got more difficult to clone, but still possible. So basically, you get a copy of your SIM, you put it in another phone, and it looks like it's calling a call from you. Now, some people use this in business. They'll be on standby or something, but it's not something you should be doing. The way to find out if the call came from the real phone, because phones have a thing called the IMEI, which is the serial number of the phone, this is recorded in call detail records, which the telcos keep. Now, this is the record of every interaction with your phone and the cellular network. These CDRs are huge, and unfortunately, they're not kept for very long. As part of the war on terror, the US asked all the countries around in the coalition to keep call detail records for longer. The UK and the EU keep them for 1 year. I don't think Australia mandates keeping them. It's a lot of data to keep.
These are different to the call logs.
Yeah, it's not just who called who. It's all the detail, what phone called, what cell it was in, perhaps the handoff between cells, a large amount of data. So unfortunately, although Mr. Thompson has raised a spectre of doubt here that this is something that could have been done, so many years have passed by now, I think it's highly unlikely these records are still there. So it's pretty safe. No one can prove one way or the other.
Okay, Peter, thanks very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Peter Marks, our regular tech guy and consultant at Access Informatics.